Well, here we are on the 21st, first day of winter, and only 3 days to Christmas Eve when we'll be gathering to worship our Lord, and we certainly hope all of you can make it. That's always such a beautiful service, and the house is always full. I remember one year it was beginning to have a little bit of freezing rain, and people were calling, "Are you having the service?" And I'm like, "Yeah, as far as I know." And we still had close to 200 people that night. So if you can, be with us. It's a wonderful time of worship together. And indeed, that's really what I want to talk about this morning, because there's always the excitement and there's the gifts and the lights and the parties and all the different things that we do and the things that the children look forward to and all of that. But Christmas is really about the coming of Jesus. So by this time, I don't know if you have any last-minute shopping to do or not or whatever, but by this time, it really should be about worship. And so I want to talk mostly about worship today. We have 4 points to our message. I've left most of it blank because I figure a lot of you don't want to take notes today. And if you do, then you can take your own. But the first two have more about getting ready for worship. And the fourth one is more about the result of worship, but we want to center today on worship. We do have a responsive reading, so I think you'll find that in the bulletin there on the white sheet. So let's stand together, and we'll be reading John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14 and 16 through 18. I'll read the light print. I'll ask you to read the dark print. And I'll join you on that last verse. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His Word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You this morning as we gather here in this place to remember Your gift to us, to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are moved continually to worship before Him, for it was in Your plan that there should come one who should be the Redeemer of mankind. He is the one that we have come to know. He is the one that we proclaim. He is the one in whom we have fixed our hope. And He is the one that we worship this Christmas season. Dear Father, we pray today that Your Son will be exalted in all the earth. And we pray that many at this season of this year, as the story is told yet again, will come to understand who Jesus really is and what He wants to do for them, both now and for all eternity. Take now Your Word and bless it to our hearts, we pray, and motivate us through Your Word to love You even more. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. It seems like almost every year there's more controversy than there's ever been about the celebration of Christmas, and there are those out there that don't want Christmas celebrated, and you hear it on the news and all of that. I was saying this morning, they're protesting the coming of the very one who came to save them and give them eternal life. That's their right to do so. But they should not be upset that we are celebrating the birth of the King. And I hope that you will not in any way modify your openness about it, to let people know why we celebrate this season. It's certainly a lot more than about presents and lights and gifts and things like that. Christmas is a time to remember. That's why I think Christmas is a good thing. I heard a minister say this morning, we don't know the exact date that Jesus was born. And that's true. We don't know. I don't know if it was December 25th. And I don't observe Christmas because I believe that He was born on December 25th. I observe Christmas because it is a celebration of His birth, period. And I think there's great value in that. And every year as the story is told again, our little ones learn it and becomes ingrained in their minds. And so it's a great opportunity to tell the story yet again. But it's a time to remember. It's a time to remember the greatest moment in human history. There has been no other moment like that one in all of history. When God became man, when the Word became flesh, when that which was eternal meshed with that which is temporal and came in order to bring redemption to the fallen seed of Adam's race. It is a time to remember the greatest gift that God ever gave. John 3:16 applies at Christmas as much as any time. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, what? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. And yes, it is a time to remember the events surrounding the coming of the Savior. There is so much material in those first two chapters of Luke and in those first two chapters of Matthew to keep us talking all year long. And we never tire of the story, because in those events, we have all the clues of who Jesus is. In those events, we have really in microcosm what Jesus' coming is all about, and we cannot miss it. So it's wonderful to go through it yet again. It's a time to reflect. It's a time to reflect on how much God loves us, as we've already quoted John 3:16. How much does God love me? He loves me so much that He would send His Son. In order to send Him, that means His Son had to leave heaven. He had to leave the glories of heaven, and He had to come down. He had to leave His limitless dimension, and He had to come and be restricted to the body of a little baby. And He had to come and He had to live in this imperfect world where there is so much sin and corruption and injustice and all of those things. And He had to literally come, and He came and He stayed. It says He came and He dwelt among us. The Greek word there is He tabernacled among us. He pitched His tent among us for a while, for about 33 and a half years. But it's a time to reflect how much God loves us. It's a time to reflect on how the eternal Word became flesh. We call that the incarnation. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." It's a time to reflect on God's faithfulness in keeping His Word. There are those who wonder, you know, today there's a lot who say, "I don't know if Scripture is really true. You know, it may just be the myths of some men who put some stuff together." But no, fulfilled prophecy is one of the greatest proofs that we have that Jesus is who He says He is. Matthew writes, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. It's a time to reflect on Christ's obedience in being willing to come. To me, that's one of the most marvelous aspects of it all. In Psalm 40, it says of Him, "Hundreds of years before He came, then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do Your will, O God.'" And that will was that He might come and be our Savior and our Redeemer by ultimately giving His life for us on the cross. It's a time to reflect on the meaning of Christ's coming, both for us personally and for the world. It says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." And then it says, "Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So Jesus was obedient, and He gave up so much in order to come and be our Savior. And so in remembering and in reflecting, those things should bring us to worship. Why do we worship Jesus? First of all, we worship Jesus because he is deity himself made flesh. This is one of the big sticking points when you get into any of the cults. They will say he is a great and mighty angel. They will say he is the prince of all creation. But ultimately, they say that he is a created being, that God made him first and then through him made everything else. That is not true. He is eternally coexistent with the Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three expressions of the Godhead. He is one with the Father. He says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." When we stand in his presence, we stand in the presence of God Almighty. We worship him for his righteousness, his holiness, his perfection, his everlasting love, his faithfulness, his goodness, his wisdom, his inexhaustible knowledge, his limitless power, his might, his truth, and all the other things that make him God. We worship him as we would worship the Father, and we approach the Father only through him. "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father," Jesus said in John 14:9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, it says in Colossians 2:9. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word, it says in Hebrews 1:3. Secondly, we worship him as the promised Messiah, the Anointed One. God had long ago promised an Anointed One who would come and deliver his people Israel. And they always were looking for the Messiah. In fact, they're still looking for him today because most of them have never recognized that Jesus indeed is the Messiah. So we worship him as the promised Messiah, as the Christ, as the Anointed One. Thirdly, we worship him as Savior, Redeemer, and Supreme Sovereign of the earth. We worship him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Revelation, it says, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ," and that would be his Anointed One, and or his Messiah, "and he will reign forever and ever." John writes, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses, and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, with which he strikes down the nations." Quote, "He will rule them with an iron scepter," unquote. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And that is how we worship Christ this Christmas season. Fourthly, we worship him as the Lamb of God who gave himself for us. It says in Revelation, "John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth." And then he writes, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." Later on, it says in Revelation 17:14, "They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers." That would be us. And we worship him today as the Lamb who gave himself for us. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. It was through being the Lamb that Jesus earned the right to be the absolute sovereign potentate of all the kingdoms of the earth. Because in doing so, by his own blood, by his own death on the cross, he repurchased the whole planet back to his Father God. And so, all glory and honor belong to the Lamb forever and ever and ever. So we worship him as the Lamb. John the Baptist said of him when he first laid eyes on him, as he walked up the road one day and was about to begin his ministry, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." So all the other things that he is to us, he is, because he was willing first to be the Lamb who would pay the price for our sins. So it's time to remember, it's time to reflect, it's time to worship. And yes, fourthly, it's a wonderful time to tell. Christmas is the time to spread and joyfully proclaim the news that the Savior is here. If we can't talk openly about Jesus at this season of the year, then when in the wide world can we do so? As the shepherds heard, first heard, then saw, then told others, so Christmas is an excellent time to share the good news concerning Christ. This is not news to keep to ourselves, but to share with everyone. This story is being told all around the world this Christmas season. It's being told in messages from the pulpit. It's being told in scripture readings and the lighting of Advent candles and the singing of choirs and plays and dramas in so many different ways. And the story still resonates. And all around the world this Christmas season, all around the world, here at home, as we call home, and in all those little far-reaching areas of the world, the story will be told again, and people will come to a personal and saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Luke 2 in the account, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So do you have the spirit of Christmas? Do you see the manger? Do you see the shepherds? Do you see the wise men coming and offering their gifts? Do you read the words about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? He was with God in the beginning, but then later the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Is that what Christmas is really about to you? I surely hope so. And I hope that that is the main thing you will focus on. It's a wonderful time to worship. So if we remember and if we reflect, then I don't know how we can keep from worshiping. And if we really, really, really worship, I don't mean that we just gather in a building where some, you know, order of service stuff is going on. If we really worship, how can we not also tell? Because there's so much joy in telling. If you found something down at the store for like 75% off and it was just a wonderful deal, wouldn't you want to tell somebody? And in receiving this gift, certainly this is a story that we want to tell and we want to share. May the Lord embolden us, as Paul always would say, pray that the Lord will give me boldness so that I will proclaim him as I should. And that applies this time of year as much as any time. Shall we pray? Father, we think of angels appearing and telling the shepherds, you wanted the word of this to get out, and you still want the word of this to get out. And Lord, we've been and we've seen and we've experienced, and now you want us as the shepherds to go and tell someone. Maybe you can give us some creative ways to tell. I don't mean being cute. I just mean something a little different that'll get somebody's attention. Some loved one that maybe is on our heart. Some friend, some work associate who does not really know Jesus and does not really acknowledge him as who he is, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as Lamb of God, as Savior, as King, as Lord. And so, Lord, help us this season to have the joy of Christmas in our hearts, the joy that comes from knowing who Jesus really is, of knowing what he's done in our own lives and in our own hearts, and then as a result of that, Lord, having the desire to go out and share it with someone else. Give us words to praise your name. Give us words to thank you and to honor you, that as we would thank anybody who does something nice for us at Christmas time, that we would thank you most of all, because Jesus really is the gift. And without him, there would be no life, and there would be no light, and there would be no hope. Help us to open our hearts completely to Jesus this Christmas season and invite him in. And then once he has taken up full residence, to then share him with others. Thank you again for your unspeakable gift. We give you all praise and glory. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Have you opened the door of your heart wide to Jesus and said, Lord Jesus, come in. Not just as the babe who was born about 2,000 years ago, but as Savior, as Lord, as King. If not, would you do so this morning? And would you come forward? Yes, would you come forward and tell me and let me pray with you and just experience the full joy of Christmas this season as you never have before.